Well, good morning, everybody. Are you all here? When Pastor Scott asked me to share the message this morning, that was about a month ago or more, he was going to give me lots of time. And my first appeal was to, my first impression was to go to Jesus. Because he usually knows where it's at. Wouldn't you say? And I said, so what's the message going to be for this morning? And it was like the Holy Spirit got on board right away. Teach on the great commission of Jesus that he gave to his disciples in Mark chapter 16. Where Jesus says, and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Or to all creation. Sometimes you have to speak the gospel to creatures too if they're going to attack you. And just rebuke them. and those that believe shall be saved. And those who reject the message of the gospel in unbelief will be condemned. Now that's serious stuff. And then he concluded that part of the commission by giving us a speech about signs and miracles. He said, these signs shall accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. Now, you Pentecostals aren't strangers to that, are you? And serpents and poisons are not going to hurt them. And last of all, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. No doubt about it. and then it was like the Holy Spirit went over to Acts chapter 1, verse 5 and 8, where Jesus again gives a few more additional words to his disciples. He said, "From not many days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive dynamic power." I mean, to change Jerusalem. Now that's going to take something, because that's where the enemies were. And Samaria and Judea. And then to the uttermost parts of the world. You will be, in effect, world changers. Now, one very important and interesting ingredient in all of these signs that Jesus predicted would happen for the believers, not for people who are degreed and have a very high IQ, it was just for people who would believe. Now, that includes all of us, right? We're all believers here this morning. At least I think so. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come. And so he says, these signs will happen to the believers. And he used the future tense. That's how the Holy Spirit wrote it. In the future tense in Greek. And that simply means that they will always show up where people believe the words of Jesus in every generation future. We are right here, living in one of those future generations. And so it's just so important to realize that Jesus had in mind that every generation would see the supernatural show up in church, on the street, wherever, in the hospitals. And that's so important because there are theologians out there that were teaching me after I graduated from high school, they were teaching me that these things have all passed away with the apostles. They're not here for the day. But Jesus doesn't agree. In every generation, and my son Josh and Sarah over there, they brought two little grandchildren to the service this morning. And so that generation is future. And they can expect all these signs to show up one way or another. Isn't that good? That's good enough to jump up and down and just get excited, isn't it? I can get really excited about what the Greek says. It's just so important. Well, the process of arriving at those supernatural signs in my young life was quite an ordeal, because when I was 16, I was already in trouble with the RCMP. I won't go into that part of my life. But God, in His mercy, snatched me out of my trouble spot in Warman, north of Saskatoon, where I was in trouble with the police, and placed me into a Christian dairy farmer's home for 2 years, grade 9 and 10. This farmer was different. Every morning when his son and I finished the chores where the cows were concerned, he read to us as we're having breakfast from the Bible. Every morning this happened. I had never experienced such a thing in my life before. And I got under conviction by the Holy Spirit, to the point where one day after school, I went to my bedroom and I had it out with God. It was the most interesting scenario in one way, because I wasn't used to church and all this, and how to pray, you know, Anglican beautiful type prayers. But I prayed my own prayer. I said, God, if you can forgive a rascal like I am and come into my life and forgive me and make me into a child of God like these people I'm living with, I said, here's my life. Do with it whatever you please. I gave God a blank sheet, unconditional surrender for him to take over the mess that I had made of my life. Well, Jesus didn't stop there. Now I was born again, but Jesus didn't stop there. It wasn't long before the farmer staged a church meeting in his living room, invited the pastor of the little country church that we all went to on Sunday, and some people from the church showed up. And as they were singing the songs of praise to Jesus in the living room, and I'm standing there in the doorway to that living room like a spectator, without any notice, suddenly the Holy Spirit from heaven, of whom I knew nothing about, there was no teaching about the Holy Spirit, he just downloaded on me to such an extent, in such a dramatic way, overdosing me with such love and joy and peace, three ingredients that I had never known anything about in my past life. It was so wonderful, even though I didn't understand what it was all about. I didn't know it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had to find that out when I went to Bible school, because there was no teaching on the Holy Spirit. I bounded up the stairs, left that group, bounded up the stairs to my bedroom, and this time I fell on my knees, and for the first time I'm worshiping the Almighty God all by myself. It was the most wonderful game changer for me, because from that moment on, the Holy Spirit regularly began to speak to me, even though I had no class on the Holy Spirit as to who he was or what he would do in my life. He would speak to me about who I should go and apologize to for my past sins and where I should make restitution for my past crimes. And so I just obeyed those voices, those messages. And then one Sunday night, my buddies and I got to church, to the little country church, before anybody else did. So I opened my Bible. I had one by that time, kind of a loose leaf edition. It was old and used. and it fell open to Ephesians chapter 6, which we know as the armor passage, Christian's armor. And as I read this for the very first time in my life, I thought, whoa, this is a wonderful segment of Scripture. I think I'll preach on it tonight. I was 17 then. If they give me an opportunity in the program, which they often did, when they had a program on a Sunday night. And so it happened. They opened it up to somebody who wanted to share. So I went up there and I preached my first sermon from Ephesians chapter 6, which I had read for the first time that night. Well, I'm sure that I got everybody saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. But all I want to say in connection with that evening's meeting was that that night, after that meeting, the Holy Spirit very clearly spoke to me, I'm calling you to the ministry. So basically, get ready. So from that point on, I knew that after graduation from high school, I would go to Bible school and train to serve Jesus in the ministry. And so I enrolled in a Bible school where some of my friends were. And so I went to this Bible school in southern Saskatchewan. I won't give the name. And I graduated there after 3 years. The first semester, with the first year class students, our professor taught us on the Holy Spirit. So here's my first class ever learning about the Holy Spirit. He started with the Old Testament, and then he ended up in the New Testament. And his final conclusion was, when it was all over, was that now that we have the complete Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, we don't need those supernatural signs that Jesus talked about and the miracles that he did in the Gospels and the disciples in the book of Acts. Now that we have the whole Bible, we don't need all of that anymore. They've all passed away with the apostles. That's what I was taught. Well, I didn't know any better. So I graduated there after 3 years. But the Holy Spirit had the wisdom to lead me to another Bible college where I could get my theology that I learned at the first school straightened out. It was a real serious tweak job. But it worked. One day I'm sitting with my theology professor at this new school. It was the Canadian Bible College in Regina, run by the Alliance, Christian Missionary Alliance. And so I'm sitting with my theology professor, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit and all of that, and here's what he said to me. John, nothing has passed away with the apostles. The signs and miracles are all here for today. Wasn't that just so good for me to hear? And it was true. It happened at the school. I heard my first time ever somebody speaking in tongues by the Spirit of God. Whoa. And then in the chapel periods, they would call students to the front if they were sick so that they could be prayed for, so that Jesus would heal them. And then Alliance Evangelists came through the school. And it was they who first began to teach me on deliverance, how to cast demons out. That's the first sign that Jesus mentioned in Mark chapter 16. And then I had all of this to process. But now, after Bible college, after we graduated from Bible college, my wife and I got married. It was actually her mom and dad who were teaching me. Her father was my theology professor, and he actually did our wedding after Bible school, after we graduated in the chapel. So then, Eloise and I, and where is Eloise now? Oh, there she is. 56 years of marriage, and she's still here with me. Isn't that something? Oh, it's just because I'm such a nice guy, I think. But she would have to contest that, because there was a time when I was so unhealed emotionally from all of my upbringing, dysfunctional home and all that. It's just about ruined our marriage 27 years in. But Jesus, I went before my Heavenly Father for 2 weeks. I'll just stick this in as a little addition here. And I asked the Father for two things. I said, you've got to heal me emotionally from all my past ugliness and woundedness. And you've got to help me forgive my dad and others who I have not been able to forgive for years and years. For I was already in the pastorate and I still hadn't forgiven my dad. But this two-week period when I was in the Father's face every day, pleading with him to heal me, he did. I woke up to the realization one day that I wasn't angry with anybody anymore. And Eloise fortunately hadn't left yet. And she saw the changes in her husband. God made a new husband out of me. He made a new father out of me. I think Josh is probably benefiting from from those changes that God made in my life. And so that's why our marriage is together today. It was better after that. I'm about 30 years grudge-free. Isn't that amazing? because I would nurse grudges and just shut down emotionally. Well, I didn't plan to tell you all that, but because my time is going, and I don't want to be known here as the longest preacher that's ever lived here. And so wow. Then Eloise and I, back to where we're at, graduation from high school, from Bible college, got married, and went into the ministry. All right. So now the question comes that's begging to be asked. Did those signs, those supernatural signs and miracles that Jesus talked about and performed himself, did they show up in our ministry in 25 years of pastoring churches and also in our missionary stints to Africa and India and Haiti and Cuba and Mexico and New Zealand? Did they show up? Oh, yes, they did. So I only have time maybe for 3 or 4 examples, and I'll try and be as quick as I can. The first place I want to go to is the Prince George Alliance Church, just north of here a few hours. And so in the 1970s, we were pastoring there. And one day, a chronic alcoholic showed up in our church along with his wife and kids. And his name was Vince Vellicott. So I made it a point to get to know him. And then I learned that one of the men in our church had given him a book entitled A King's Kid. He read the book, and Vince responded by inviting Jesus Christ to come into his life and to save him so he could become a Christian. So now he's born again. Praise God. But Jesus didn't stop there. He was, because of about 18 years of alcohol abuse, the nervous system in both his legs were totally destroyed. He couldn't even walk on the sidewalk without falling on his face. And that was what made matters worse for him. Was he was a member of the fire department. And the chief was going to fire him because you can't have a member of your staff who can't even walk on a sidewalk, let alone climb up ladders to fetch little old ladies out of a burning building on the fifth floor or whatever. So it was so critical for Jesus to heal Vince in his legs, heal the nervous system that had been destroyed. Doctors can't do that, but Jesus, Dr. Jesus can. What a beautiful miracle Jesus did for this chronic alcoholic who had just been born again, and now Jesus just healed him. Amazing. But Jesus didn't stop there. He was still addicted to alcohol. And so one day I found him in his truck. His wife told me where to find him. And as we're sitting there in his truck at his little table, at one point in the discussion, I said to Vince, I need to ask you a question. Is Jesus of Nazareth the Son of God come in human form? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Well, you may find this hard to believe, but his body physically slithered under the table in response to that question. Because every spirit that denies that is of Antichrist. So I knew that Vince had a few demons operating in his life that he needed to get rid of. So I said, I want you to meet me at the fireside room of the church. And one of my elders will come and we will set you free. During the deliverance session, we cast out 4 alcohol devils. One gave its name as being garbage. And that's really pretty descriptive. Well, but Jesus didn't stop there. Now he is born again. He was healed miraculously in his legs, delivered from alcohol. To this date, it would be about 46, 47 years since he got rid of those demons of alcohol. Walking in victory, free from alcohol, as though it had never been a problem. Isn't Jesus wonderful? He's just so amazing. I just love to talk about him. So then, Jesus wasn't finished with him yet. He wanted him to have the whole package deal. So Vince went to a full gospel banquet where they talked about the full filling of the Holy Spirit on one Saturday night. And when the invitation was given to those who wanted to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, Vince went forward. So he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and one of the evidence showed up that we know as the gift of tongues. So praise God. Now he had the whole package. And the Lord began to use him in ministry. He became a member of the church board of the church that we were attending there and pastoring. And then also Youth for Christ asked him to serve on their board of directors. So I'm gonna leave Prince George behind now. We're gonna go to New Zealand, where we were transferred to next for 4 years. Well, did the miracles and signs show up there too? Oh, yes. Now, is that clock right? Is it 10 after 11? So I must be just about done then, right? Wow. Well, look. So anyway, in New Zealand, the responsibility that I was given was to start a church and then for a 4-year term, minister there to those people. Well, one day, a black witch phoned our house. Word had gotten out that John and Eloise from Canada were involved in deliverance ministry. And so she asked the question, can I get delivered and set free from the demons and devils that bind me? Because when you're a black witch, you've pretty much sold out to the devil. And the devil is not going to let freedom happen to a person like that without using all his arsenal against such an idea. But I assured Rolene, that was her name, I assured her that Jesus could set her free from everything that bound her. So during the sessions, we had several sessions with her. You can imagine it. They were very, very dramatic. But I had learned from Jesus and my tutors that we have authority and power, just like Jesus said to his disciples when he sent them out 2 by 2. I give you authority and power to cast out all devils and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. So that's what I appeal to. So as she was sitting there in this armchair in the living room, I would set the ground rules for every session. I would, and some of them were as follows. There shall be no profanity in this session. There shall be no screaming and scaring the neighbors half to death. And there shall be no violence, walking around the living room, tearing my furniture to pieces and all of that. Everything shall be done decently and in order. Those were the instructions I gave. Well, every session happened just as I had directed, by the authority and power of Jesus. She would sit there on this living room armchair, just shaking like this, as though she was trying to get free from invisible chains that held her to that chair. But when the day came, when she was willing to confess that Jesus Christ was her Lord and Master instead of the enemy, and when she was willing to repent of everything from the past, then the old devil had to admit defeat, and she became totally delivered in the end. The day came when she visited us again. But this time, we didn't have to minister to her. She ministered to us because we were having a kind of a downtime with discouragement. Something negative had happened with part of our family. So that's what happened there. Then the next thing that happened in New Zealand was a spirit-filled, born-again Anglican vicar came to our house. We had become friends. We had ministered at a drug rehabilitation center in Hamilton, New Zealand, where we were both stationed. He said, John, I'm being transferred to another city to minister there to a church, and I'm just wondering if you would take over my ministry to the Maori people, the Polynesian people that had migrated to New Zealand in dugout canoes. They were a very spiritist people and also cannibalistic, which simply means that they eat other people for dinner. There was a tribe known as the Moriores in New Zealand at the time. Well, the Maoris ate every single one of them, made stew out of them all. That's that's the door that this Anglican vicar was wanting me to walk into. So I said, well, sure, I don't have a church yet, and may as well go with what you're trying to introduce me to. So he took me to a Maori home, introduced me to the mother that was there, and a 14-year-old boy. And, excuse me, little side effects here from medication. So after I made the introductions, he said, okay, John, minister to them, just like that. Well, it was a good thing that I had learned to depend on the Holy Spirit for every crisis. So I learned that the young boy, the 14-year-old young boy, had been traumatized by a mad dog that had bitten him in his face. Now you can imagine when a dog attacks your face as to how traumatic that would be. And I've also learned over the years that when a person is traumatized, it usually opens the door for demonic invasion. And so the Holy Spirit guided me with the spirit of discernment, gift of discernment, to cast out whatever powers were there that had entered during the attack. And in Jesus' name, I released healing and deliverance and freedom, victory for this boy. The next day, his Maori grandmother phoned me up and invited me to her home. So I went. After we got acquainted, she said to me, John, you ministered to my grandson yesterday. He's already off all psychiatric counseling and doesn't need any medication anymore. Wasn't that beautiful? She was so impressed that Jesus had just changed her grandson, in a moment, to make him normal. And from that moment on, Mrs. Redamana opened the door to the Maoris for the rest of the 4-year period that we were in New Zealand, when we were able to minister to many of her people. They would come in droves to our house, sometimes four or five in a car. And there would be deliverance and there would be salvations happening. And they would also bring their guitars because they're beautiful, beautiful singers. And we would have praise times in our house that were just so wonderful. So then, after 4 years, we were sent back to back home to Canada, to Regina, Saskatchewan. Eloise's dad had fixed up the basement to make a suite for us so we could live there until we had gotten settled. Well, a year went by, and then we were able to buy a home eventually. One day, a prophet came to visit me. I knew this guy. He was a man of God. And while he visited with us, he said, "John, in 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit's going to show you what you're supposed to do in Regina in the future." Well, I went to prayer and fasting, and sure enough, the Holy Spirit revealed that we were supposed to start a ministry in Regina, and we called it Regina Christian Center. It was we rented facilities from a certain seniors center that a person by the name of Dr. George Bockwell had put together, so that seniors could have a place to go and celebrate and party and this and that. Well, I discovered that Dr. Bockwell was a Baptist girl. So we became friends, and one day she phoned up and she said, "John, I've got some really bad news." She said, "I was just talking with my daughter in Texas, way down in the southern states, and she's telling me that she has been diagnosed with pervasive cancer." Like, pervasive means all over. "And 6 months to live." I said, "Doris, don't you worry about a thing. I believe Jesus is going to heal your daughter of pervasive cancer." And then I went into prayer on the phone. So we agreed together on the phone that Jesus would heal her daughter. A week went by, and she phoned again. At this point, I just about go to pieces with joy. She said, "John, I've got some good news today. I was talking with my daughter's doctor in Texas, and he's telling me that we cannot find the cancer." Well, hallelujah. And so then Doris explained to him what we had done at this inn when we were praying a week ago on the phone together for her daughter. And the doctor said, "Well, that's it. It's a miracle. I'm a believer too." And then she didn't stop there. She said, "And my son-in-law, when he saw the miracle in my daughter that Jesus did, gave his heart to Christ, invited Jesus to come into his life." Whoa. But then she didn't stop there either. There was still one more thing that she wanted to share with me. She said, last week when I phoned you and you went to prayer on the phone, you switched from English into tongues. And you were praying in perfect Hebrew," she said. "I studied Hebrew for my PhD degree, and that was perfect Hebrew. And I don't know Hebrew. Never studied Hebrew a day in my life. Studied New Testament Greek for 2 years, but never Hebrew, except for a few words here and there." Well, Paul says to the Corinthians that sometimes praying in tongues or speaking in tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. Well, Doris, being a Baptist girl, she wouldn't have been brought up with faith in the gifts of the Spirit, certainly not tongues. That's all passed away with the apostles, with the Baptists, and so on. But she had a chance, an opportunity to change her mind about supernatural signs that Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 16. Well, I guess I better wrap it up here. Well, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, We're so thankful that we can walk a supernatural lifestyle every single day by the power of the Holy Spirit. So bless these people as they go their way this morning. And watch over them all. Watch over Pastor Scott and Kathy as they take a break. And bless all of the proceedings concerning the new pastor couple that are coming soon. And we ask your blessing now to fall on this church so that we can reach Cache Creek and Ashcroft for Jesus. In your name, amen.